There are many different expressions that we hear throughout the day, whether it be on the radio, on television, fellow associates, friends, family, we may even read it about it. But have you ever thought about where some of the expressions that we hear may have come from, where the history of them originate from? Or if people even think twice about what they are saying, what it actually may mean, or where it has been derived from. Since many of these sayings have been embedded in our language, everyday use, it's almost natural just to say it. Now, we may be guilty of the same. I'm sure a lot of us have used these terms before. I know I have. I'm going to go through a few of these. For example, bite the bullet. We've heard that saying, may have said it, which means to accept something that is difficult or unpleasant. And as I was researching this, I obviously found it on the internet, and I double-checked to see if they related to some other sources, and they all came to but the same kind of meaning. So the history of this term was that there was no time to administer anesthesia before emergency surgery during battle. So the surgeon made patients bite down on a bullet in an attempt to distract them from the pain. Where that phrase comes from. Another phrase is break the ice, which has to do with to commence a project or initiate a friendship. The history of this is before the days of trains or cars, port cities that thrived on trade suffered during the winter because frozen rivers prevented commercial ships from entering the city. So small ships known as icebreakers would rescue the icebound ships by breaking the ice and creating a path for them to follow. Before any type of business arrangement today, it is now customary to break the ice before beginning a project. Did you know that? You heard about that saying? Somebody? Oh, I thought somebody may have known that. What about the saying, cat's got your tongue? Now, if you don't know the history of this one may surprise some of you, and you probably won't want to say it anymore. So this has to do with something said when a person is at a loss for words. Now, hopefully the cat won't have my tongue. The history of this are two possible sources for this common saying. The first refers to the cat's o' nine tails, which is a whip used by the English Navy for flogging. The whip caused so much pain that the victims were left speechless. Or, and this one's worse, the second refers to the practice of cutting out the tongues of liars and blasphemers and then feeding them to cats. So that's where the phrase, cat got your tongue, comes from. What about the term caught red-handed? This has to be to do with something wrong, caught doing something wrong. The history of this is saying originated because of a law. If someone butchered an animal that didn't belong to him, he had to be caught with the animal's blood on his hands to be convicted. Being caught with freshly cut meat did not make the person guilty. I would have never guessed about that one, and I say that one all the time, and I thought it had to do with paint or something, but see? You just never know. Now, I heard about this saying, and we may have used it, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which is hang on to valuable things when getting rid of unnecessary things. And some of you may know about the history of this one. During the 1500s, most people bathed once a year. Now, I didn't mean anything offensive by that. I'm just saying you may have heard about this. Even when they did bathe, the entire family used the same tub full of water. The man in the house bathed first, followed by other males, then the females, and then finally the babies. You can imagine how thick and cloudy the water became by that time, so the infants' mothers had to take care not to throw them out with the bathwater when they emptied the tub. What about the phrase, give the cold shoulder? Now, this is a rude way of telling someone he or she isn't welcome. The history of this, although giving someone the cold shoulder today is considered rude, it was actually regarded as a polite gesture in medieval England. After a feast, the host would let his guests know it was time to leave by giving them a cold piece of meat from the shoulder of beef, sheep, or pork. Some of these are pretty funny. Go the whole nine yards. Heard that saying? It means to try one's best. In World War II, fighter pilots received a nine-yard chain of ammunition. Therefore, when a pilot used all of his ammunition on one target, he gave it the whole nine yards. What about rub the wrong way? This means to irritate, to bother, or to annoy somebody. In colonial America, servants were required to wet rub and dry rub the oak board floors each week. Doing it against the grain caused streaks to form, making the wood look awful and irritating to the homeowner. Rule of thumb. Has anybody ever used that term? I'm sure a lot of us have. This is a common universal benchmark. Now, the history of this may surprise you. The legend has it that 17th century English judge Sir Francis Buller ruled it was permissible for a husband to beat his wife with a stick, given that the stick was no wider than his thumb. Oh, they're amusing. How about show your true colors? This has to do with revealing one's true nature. History of this is warships used to fly multiple flags to confuse their enemies. However, the rules of warfare stated that a ship had to hoist its true flag before firing and hence display its country's true colors. And I just got a couple more. Sleep tight. Now, we say this all the time, especially to our young ones before they go to bed. And this, of course, just means to sleep well. Now, during Shakespeare's time, mattresses were secured on bed frames by ropes. In order to make the bed firmer, one had to pull the ropes to tighten the mattress. So that's where the phrase sleep tight comes from. A boring history. What about spill the beans? And that means to reveal a secret. So in ancient Greece, beans were used to vote for candidates entering various organizations. One container for each candidate was set out before the group members, who would place a white bean in the container if they approved of the candidate, and a black bean if they did not. Sometimes a clumsy voter would accidentally knock over the jar, revealing all the beans and allowing everyone to see the otherwise confidential votes. What's funny about that one, it seems like that is still being done to this day, just not with beans. Then finally, waking up on the wrong side of the bed. That is waking up in a bad mood. Who doesn't do that? History of this is the left side of the body, or anything having to do with the left was often associated, considered sinister. To ward off evil, innkeepers made sure the left side of the bed was pushed against the wall, so guests had no other option but to get up on the right side of the bed. Amazingly, with history of all of these, it goes back so far. Yet, we still use these terms today, and I don't really think a lot of people even knew what the history of these terms were. Did we all? Did any of us? Now, why do I bring this up? Well, there are actually, in fact, other sayings that many people blurt out, commonly used as an expression of relief. Religious or not, everybody says it. Society has termed it as something that rarely means what the actual words resemble. Or they don't mean to, or there's actually not an actual meaning behind it. It's because it's been used so many times, they're just going to say it, not thinking twice about it. One phrase that I want to focus on is the expression, thank God. We hear this expression all the time, for various reasons, for big reasons, for insignificant reasons, for reasons that don't even make any sense. Everybody says it. Atheists say it. Do they even know what they're saying? Like I said, we hear it all the time. We say it as well. But hopefully when we do say it, it's in the right context. There are many sayings out there that we don't mean literally. Just like, I could eat a horse. It means you are quite hungry. Not that you want to eat an entire horse. There are plenty of sayings like that. But focusing on thank God, we have to be aware why we are saying it, and do we really mean it? Are we truly thankful in whatever situation we are in when we say thank God? Now, I'm not saying it in this way, where let's say somebody who's financially unstable goes to the casino, wins the jackpot, and then says, thank God I just won this money because I needed it, only to blow it all in 2 hours and have nothing left. Now, did they really thank God? Or was it because it was convenient, is when they said it? So what about us? You know, I would like to think about, actually, I would like you all to think about a particular situation that you have been in where you have truly thanked God. It can be anything. It can be something recent. It could be something in the past. But I want to share with you an example that I have just recently been through, and it just happened last week, and it has to do with my work. Now, those of you who are aware of what I do, I am part of the transportation where I deliver products to businesses, to residentials, and so on. So think of it as UPS. So with this type of job, I have to be aware at all times of my surroundings. Now, we have meetings every Friday morning at my work, or even every morning, where we go over things, which sometimes it's a laugh at because it's just common sense. However, you know, there's a reason why things are brought up. And it's not that you are a good driver. It's that you have to watch out for other people out there so you can be a good driver. Being aware of your surroundings is very, very important in this job. So I was approaching an intersection, and I was actually at a red light about to turn left, a typical stop I go to probably every day. And it was one of these roads where the hill and the horizon, when the traffic is approaching, is tough to see when cars are actually coming. At this point, there was nobody around. It was just me at the red light, and there was a pedestrian on the right, and they were crossing the street. Now, I had my attention on the pedestrian because I wasn't sure if they were going to cross the street, so if my light turned green, I was ready. So I kind of was focusing on him. I didn't know what he was doing. So then all of a sudden, the light turned green. So I started going, keeping my eye on him, but then not seeing a car going at an incredible rate of speed, approaching, going up that hill. And something inside of me just told me to look. To not just look, but to apply the brakes on my green light going left. It's a good thing I did, because this person had no clue they were entering a red light, and they must have been going at least 55, 60 miles per hour. It's a 55 or it's a 50 mile per hour zone, but they were going fast. And they were in a fairly large vehicle. And I applied the brakes just at the right time. There's a couple feet in front of me where the car just zipped past. Saw the driver. I honked my horn to get her attention, but she already passed. Realized after she did what just happened, and I think the shock had just set in, and she pulled over to the side, and whatever. I kept going. I went to my stop, and I tell you, my heart was pounding, because that would have been it for me. That would have been a head-on collision. And my truck is surrounded by glass, so I have nothing to protect me. So the people could see, you know, there was something not right, And I had to take a seat, and they asked me what was up. I told them what happened, and I just told them, you know what? Thank God. So it was one of those experiences that really made me, you know, see what was really out there. And then at any moment where you need God's help. Now, I've been in a lot of situations where I've faced red light runners, but nothing like this. And it was that close. Anyway, this is where I'm saying we need to thank God for the protection that we have. Now we have been called out of this world. Thank God we are here today celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. And what this picture is for us. Excuse me. This is my friend. With the Feast of Trumpets, we hear about this morning, we hear about every year, and it is truly a blessing. Feast of Trumpets is just right around the corner. So let me ask you all, are you guys ready? Because I am not quite ready, but I am excited. And we are definitely looking forward to it, as we are every single year, throughout the year. Because this is the future. This is what the world is going to experience, which we get to experience right now. This is God's perfect plan for us. And He is the one that's in control. Not necessarily us. We can control our lives. However, it is God that controls our lives at all times with every situation that we go through. Thank God we can put everything into His hands. Now, you all heard the announcement of my wife who had lost her job recently. By the way, I want to say hello to her. She's not here today. She had another lapse of migraines. And, you know, that's been taking a toll on her, too. It's the initial shock of losing a job when everything seemed like it was going right. But I and she and we do not know the reasons of it right now. But there are reasons for it happening. And we just have to put it in God's hands. And that's all we can do. And that's why we look to Him for that help. We give thanks to God always for everything. Ephesians 5:20. But what I want to turn to is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we read, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." But let's notice verse 16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always in what? What are we rejoicing always about? Are we supposed to rejoice when we lose a job? Are we supposed to rejoice when we go through trials? Well, in fact, we are. You don't do it initially because it's human nature. But we rejoice always, as it says in verse 16, which brings us to the next verse, pray without ceasing. So when we go through problems, when we go through trials, we rejoice, but we also need to pray. And if we don't pray, chances are you're not going to have your answer revealed to you. But you never stop praying. During the bad times, during the good times, it doesn't matter. We always pray. And with that, we can rejoice. Since we know the truth and the knowledge of God's plan, we show God through how? One example is through tithes, that we are truly thankful. Not just through tithes, but another reason why we are here today on this high holy day where we are to give up an offering. Where we show God our gratitude and how much we actually and truly do thank Him. It is a blessing that we can observe the Sabbath. It's a blessing that we can observe these holy days. And this all pictures God's plan, as I mentioned. He made it all. And He only requires just a little bit from us in return. Notice Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 through 16. Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Interesting way of saying it, with sacrifices. What does this say? Well, it's telling us that it takes an effort. It takes an effort to do good. It takes an effort to have a good attitude, to have the faith, for these are sacrifices that we go through all the time. All the trials, all the tests that we go through is just that. It is a test to see how we're going to respond, and it is an effort, isn't it? And that's definitely what we go through prior feast. So what we need to do is we need to prove to God, but also prove to ourselves that we are indeed thankful. Giving to Him cheerfully, knowing what He promises us in return. And that makes it all the more worthwhile.